Part 15, Chapter 4. He lay half awake in his bed, not really wanting to try. The secret behind Johnny's lethargy was the feeling that he had failed. Maybe the bombs hadn't landed on Cyclo. Maybe all this was just a brief interlude of peace for man. Perhaps soon, the beautiful plains of his planet would once more be denied the human race. And even if the bombs had landed and Cyclo was no longer a menace, he had heard of other races out there in the universes. Savage races, as pitiless as the Cyclos. How could this planet defend itself against those? It haunted him at every awakening. It plagued his sleep. People now looked so happy and industrious, so revived. What cruelty if it were just a brief interlude. How crushed they would be. Today would be just another day. He would get up, and a Russian attendant would bring in his breakfast and help Chrissy straighten the room. Then McKendrick would come, and they would exercise his arm, and he would try to walk a bit. Something about there being nothing wrong, really, just having to learn to do it again. Then Sir Robert or the parson would come over and sit uncomfortably for a while until Chrissy shooed them out. A few more dull, routine actions, and another day would be gone. His failure oppressed him. He saw more clearly than they did how cruel a letdown this would be if the Cyclos counterattacked. He felt a little guilty when he saw a glad face. How soon it might turn to sorrow, if not death. He had given the historian, Dr. McDermott, a colorless outline of the drone destruction, all from the viewpoint of what one could or could not do if another one appeared. And Dr. Mack had well supposed there was far more to the action than that, but he had been chased out by Chrissy. Chrissy had just washed his face, and he was sitting at a trolley table when he noticed something odd going on with the Russian attendant. It really did not thoroughly challenge Johnny's interest, for there were always Scots guarding him in the outside passage against intruders or disturbance. A guard he had at first protested, and then accepted when they all seemed so upset at the refusal. Johnny had not seen this particular Russian in 2 weeks. Others had been taking his place. Once this Russian had come in with a great big black eye and a triumphant grin on his face. Questioned, Chrissy had explained that the Russians sometimes fought among themselves over the right to serve him. Well, this fellow looked like he could win any fight. As tall as Johnny, heavy-set with slightly slanted eyes, and dressed in baggy-bottomed trousers and a white tunic, he was quite imposing. His bristling black mustache standing straight out on both sides of his big nose. His name was, inevitably, Ivan.